Oh my God. You don't think I haven't done that two or three times? My goodness. No, trust me. Here's my tip for all you podcasters out there. Make sure you see that we're recording right now and it's going 14 seconds, 15 seconds. Yep. Make sure you see that thing moving before you start talking, because guess what? You can cut out that 2 seconds of dead.
That's
air
right.
You can cut out the extra. That's really easy. What's really tough is going back and doing that 30 minute or an hour segment again. That sucks. I know from experience.
That does. We got a couple of profanities out and then we started over.
That's right.
All right. Fantastic. Well, hey, I'm going to jump us in. Fantastic. Hey, welcome back, folks, to the Alabama Football Podcast. And we have a special treat for you today. We have John Miller with Locked On Missouri, and we're going to talk Tigers to get us prepped up for Saturday's game. John, how excited are you that SEC football is on? It's going to happen. The ball will kick.
Well, my God, I'm always ready for football, but especially with this COVID-19 season, my God, this is like I'm stranded in the desert and I found an oasis. That's what it feels like. That's how excited I am for it.
Right. No, I think that's about right. I was, we recorded a preseason show earlier this week and I think I kicked it off. You know, if we waited any longer to record the show, it would just be one long screech, because the level of excitement is just building to such levels. Hey, why don't we jump into the Tigers? There's a lot to look at and sort of help us understand the team. Why don't we start with the new head coach? Typically, you get spring practice, and so you get to hear reports and see things maybe in a spring game. We don't know a lot about what Drink is doing up in Columbia. Any sort of whispers that you're hearing that can clue us in what kind of offense we're going to see Saturday?
Well, you know, honestly, not a lot of intel from preseason, because not only a lot of it is because of COVID, because, well, they're limiting media access because of that. Some of that, to be honest, feels like a bit of an excuse, and I don't mean that in a completely pejorative way, but clearly Eli is the kind of coach, not maybe entirely unlike Nick Saban,
right,
who likes to limit media access a little bit, and certainly he still is keeping his starting quarterback under wraps. Maybe we'll get to that a little later, but I guess what I'm trying to say is I think that I got a better insight looking at his Appalachian State season last year as to what type of offense he's going to run. And I think you're going to see, he calls it a pro tempo type of offense. And I think what that really means is you're going to see a lot of 11 personnel, a lot of 12 personnel, meaning you're going to see one running back with either one tight end or two tight ends. And that's going to make him really versatile. Okay, in terms of the type of personnel in terms of the type of formations that you can run. But you're going to see a lot of shotgun. And I think in this game in particular, you're going to see a lot of first and second down runs, trying to get it to third and three, third and four, third and manageable. And from what I've seen from Drinkwitz, one of his strengths as a play caller is he's really good in those situational third down, red zone, you know, goal line type play calls. He always has something in his back pocket. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that manifests itself in this particular game, but mostly the rest of the season, because my God, first week, considering new coach, Missouri has at least 7 guys out with COVID or contact tracing at this point. So I don't know about Alabama. You know, we'll see with them too. We're going to kind of have to, you know, monitor pregame warmups, right? It's such an unknown is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it really is. You know, Saban sort of almost has an agreement with the players. The players said, hey, we don't want to announce a lot of this and you know, who's maybe not going to play or with COVID. And so it's been, you know, kind of by the vest. You kind of read between the line with, you know, practices, you know, someone misses a week of practice that had been performing really well, and then they step back out and they look like they haven't missed a beat. You kind of can read between the lines there, but yeah, it's going to be an interesting season, you know, kind of in that regard. You know, you mentioned that the Eli is similar to Nick, and I think there's something to that. Nick Saban published his depth chart, and Eli did last night. And I noticed something very, very similar. There were a lot of ors in the roster. And so I always have a good time with that. I understand what Saban's doing there, and it looks like Eli's doing something similar. And so one of the ors was at the quarterback position. Sean and Connor, I've heard good things about both of them. Who do you think steps under center or at least lines up behind center when the game kicks off?
Well, you know what? I think our all SEC, at least preseason, and frankly, all American preseason linebacker, Mr. Nick Bolton, may have let the cat out of the bag a little bit in the recent days here. He had a good bit of praise for Sean Robinson, and he said, oh, I think he has everything that it takes to be a good quarterback in this league, essentially. And just, I said this on my show, but, you know, for this new audience here, I think Nick Bolton's a savvy enough guy that if he didn't know that Sean Robinson was the starter, right, I don't think he would have come out in the media and said that. So while Eli is still technically not announced a starter officially, I think that's kind of all you need to hear. I think I'd be stunned at this point if Sean Robinson didn't start. Having said that, I do like Connor Bazelak. I like his arm, and I like what he showed in limited action last season.
Right. You know, I think Sean looks like a player. I've seen, I mean, they both do, but I've seen some images of Sean. I think the TCU transfer, he spent time with Looper, who's, you know, coordinating the passing game in some regards. So I think there's some continuity. There's almost sometimes, and we talk about this on our show, sometimes you can overthink it, and you can sort of back yourself into thinking, you know, a lot of different scenarios. But if you really strip it away and say, hey, what would someone, you know, walking up fresh to the situation, what would they assume? What would they think? And I think the TCU transfer, the guy that's got multiple starts under his belt, familiarity with this, the style of system, some of the coaches, there's almost a built-in head start there. But it'll be interesting to see, and I bet they both play.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting thought. And certainly under Gary Pinkel, there was a tendency at times to have the backup quarterback, I should say, easy for me to say, maybe take a series or two, yep, in spite of the fact that he was the backup guy. And, you know, with Bazelak, your point about having a head start is, well, while I liked what I saw from him at the end of last season, the fact remains he did tear his ACL on an awkward slide. Now, as I said, he was a wishbone quarterback in high school, so maybe the sliding is something he needs to work on. But other than that, I liked what I saw. But to your point, he's definitely got a head start over Bazelak because of that ACL recovery.
What do you think about the running backs? You mentioned heavy first, second down running. What do you think about Larry and Tyler, how they distribute maybe the carries and any specialties one has over the other?
Well, you know, Roundtree is kind of your more, I kind of hate the term bell cow running back, but right, when it comes to just, you know, a bigger back who can handle 20 carries a game, I think he's a prototypical SEC type running back when it comes to that. Now, Beatty, on the other hand, also a good runner. I think he's better in the passing game. So we have a nice combination there. I think you're looking at Roundtree most of the time in this ball game on first and second down, trying to push the pile forward. And then, you know, Beatty is your third down passing situation style player. And frankly, we've got some other guys back there have some good talent as well. So I think that arguably is probably the best position on our team in some ways. Can I ask you something real quick? I know when it comes to Alabama and the defense, I know a lot of Alabama fans, just for whatever reason, it seems like they've been a little bit disappointed with their defense the last couple of years. And I look at it statistically, it was more the run game, the run defense, than the passing defense. Is that still an area of concern for you all, or what's just your thoughts in general about Bama's defense?
Yeah, I think last year, a little bit of an anomaly. We had five players in our front eight that missed time. Multiple players missed most. Multiples of those missed most of the season, and they're all back. We ended up with a freshman at nose and a freshman at both of the middle linebacker spots. And so we had a lot of opportunity there in the middle. They're talented players, but just wanting for experience. And so we have a lot of talent back I think we go deeper in the defensive front this year than we have in probably multiple years. And then, you know, we talk about your 32 and linebacker in the middle. We have ours. Dylan Moses is back, and he is a really talented linebacker. And I think he's going to unlock the potential of Christian Harris, one of the middle linebackers that started last year as a freshman. So I feel really good about our front eight. I feel like that's the strength of our defense. And we have some younger guys in the secondary, but it'll be interesting to see how they come along.
Interesting. Well, that's interesting to hear. I would say, just from my perspective as a guy who's followed football from a long time, you didn't sound too worried, and I wouldn't be either if I were you, because quite frankly, you know, those year to year, you know, like you said, the injuries explain a lot. But at the same time, if I'm going to have an element of my defense that's strong, I'd rather have it be the passing game, quite frankly. So I'm sure Alabama will be in pretty good shape as usual.
Yeah, I think so. We're going to play a lot of nickel. You know, Saban talks about us being a 3-4 defense. We're really more of a 3-3-5. You know, a lot of nickel back there. And we're going to have a couple youngsters, a couple first-time starters. But I like what we have back there. And it'll be one of those things where we'll get progressively better as the season goes on. And so we're not going to look as good Saturday as we'll look in a month from now, 6 weeks from now. But I think we have a lot of good raw material there.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think in general, my football philosophy, I'm much more of a, hey, let's try to throw the ball on first and 10 and second and 10 kind of guy. But I think in this particular game, considering Missouri's personnel, considering they're obviously at a talent deficit with the Crimson Tide, to be perfectly honest, I think that's kind of what they have to do. And I think that's their best chance at, you know, winning is a stretch, but at least keeping the game competitive. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Well, hey, talking about slinging it around the field, who's going to be catching those balls? A couple of transfers at the wide receiver position. So who's going to be stretching the field deep and wide for you?
Well, it's a good question. And to your point on those two transfers, I think we were expecting and still are expecting a decent bit from Virginia Tech graduate transfer Damon Hazleton. But unfortunately, it sounds like he's been a little banged up in preseason camp, more than a little banged up, frankly. So I'm a little worried about his status for tomorrow. I think he's shown that he can be a productive player in the Power Five, but obviously his injury status is concerning. On maybe the other side of the field, you've got Kiki Chisholm, who is actually he's a D2 transfer, but you know, he's got the look, he's got the size, right. He's got the athleticism, and Eli Drinkwitz has really talked him up as a guy who might possibly have some NFL potential. So take that for what it's worth. Obviously he's going to put over his new guy to some extent, but you know, Missouri really, really struggled offensively in general, but definitely at receiver last year too. And you know, it's not as though Missouri hasn't been able to unearth some good receivers in the last 10-15 years or so. So it'll be interesting to see if we can bounce back at that position. Frankly, this whole first season, I don't have a lot of high expectations, but long term, I really like the Eli Drinkwitz hire in general.
Well, I like a lot of what he's done. You know, he's come in and, you know, and it's been a different sort of, this year has been a different year anyways, right? But he's come in and almost immediately assessed, you know, hey, we need some support here. And bringing in the two transfers at wide receiver, I don't know the timing, you know, chicken or egg, who came first on all of these, but, you know, the quarterback himself, I think there's a center that you guys brought in. And so he sprinkled in transfers across, especially the offensive side of the ball, which is his, you know, which is sort of his skill set, his bailiwick. And so he knew what he needed and saw we've got some pieces here, but we need more. And so let's go get them. And was pretty successful in bringing in some guys that I think that are going to have some good success for you. So that is exciting. And, you know, I see something similar in our basketball coach, Nate Oates. Came in and we needed help on the roster, and he has turned over every stone. We've got a transfer from from an Ivy school. We've got a kid from France. We've got a kid from Canada. We got a couple guys from the West Coast, and just he's completely in 18 months remade the roster. And it's easier to do in basketball than football, but I see a similarity there that says, all right, you know, gloves are off. We are we're bringing in talent. So I think that's exciting. Talk to me about this offensive line. I know that was not a strong point last year. There's been a lot of injury that I've heard. What's the offensive line look like? What's your prognosis there?
Oh man, you want to talk about a bunch of unknowns. This is the ultimate unknown right now, is the Missouri offensive line. In some ways, at least at two of the positions, I would say you brought up just now that there was a transferred center. Well, that was Michael Maietti from Rutgers. We have a decent idea that he should be a solid player. Also, Case Cook is a captain on the team, and another guy whose name is escaping me right now. But the biggest thing, actually, I should say Xavier Delgado is a guy that Eli Drinkwitz has talked up a lot. But when Missouri released its depth chart in the last couple days or so, one of the biggest standouts to me was Missouri's starting left tackle is a guy I had not heard of. Now, hopefully you guys have realized after the last 15 minutes or so that I know Missouri football.
Right, absolutely.
And yet this guy, this is a name that I genuinely had not heard of. I had to go, okay, where did this guy come from? Oh, he had just joined the team in August from Coffeyville Community College in Kansas. Okay, now that it makes sense why I've never heard of this gentleman.
Right.
But, and also there was a moment a couple weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago, where Eli Drinkwitz pointed out that we were starting our fifth left guard in camp in like as many days. So that just gives you an idea, especially on the left side of that offensive line. Missouri has a lot more questions than answers right now. So obviously coming off a season which the Missouri offensive line really struggled. Well, guess what? Their left tackle last year, Yasir Durant, he's now with the Kansas City Chiefs. So he was an undrafted free agent that ended up making the Super Bowl champions roster. So probably our strongest player is now gone. So, I mean, yeah, I'm kind of terrified at offensive line, to be quite frank. I mean, maybe these guys will come together and be awesome, but I wouldn't bet on it. Let's put it that way.
Right, right. Well, I do think, you know, and it's just the convergence of circumstance. I think this is a year that Alabama's defensive front is stronger. Last year, I wouldn't have said that in quite the same way. If this is a year where the Missouri line is rebuilding, first game out of the chutes might be a long day, but certainly a growth opportunity for some of those guys. And again, I like the fact that he brought in transfers, recognized the need, and said, hey, we're going to patch this up as quickly as we can. It's always an incremental process, but the faster you make those first steps, you know, the faster you get to the end result. Hey, let's flip the field a little bit and talk defense. Speaking about defensive fronts, I cannot stop being impressed with 78 Kobe Whiteside. What's your thought there?
Well, you know, it's interesting. He was obviously a really good player last year. And the question right now, I think, for a lot of people is, will his production maybe be hampered a little bit by Jordan Elliott exiting the team? Well, for those of you who aren't aware, Jordan Elliott was one of the highest rated defensive linemen in college football last year by Pro Football Focus. So that's a nice thing. And then he ends up getting picked by the Cleveland Browns, I think, in round three, maybe. And so far, he's had a nice start with them, too. I don't know. Pro Football Focus just loves Jordan Elliott. That's all I can say. But I guess the question is can Kobe keep that going? And my tendency is to think that he can, because this is a deep, and again, along with running back, I'd say defensive tackle may be the second most deep team on the Missouri team. And, you know, you've got Akil Byers, you've got, you know, this kid Jackson, you know, there's just a lot of names there that I think, you know, whether you're talking about the three technique, the one technique, the thing with Elliott was last year, he moved around kind of all over the field a little bit, even played some end at times. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see who fills in those gaps. But I think on the interior, I think Missouri's doing good. It's all really the exterior, the defensive ends. Missouri used to be known for getting pass rush. It's been a few years since that's happened from that spot. So that's the big question on this roster.
Talk about Bolton. I think he's a cat that I think Alabama fans need to watch out for. Nick Bolton, All-America player, reads the ball really well. I think he led the team, maybe the conference, in tackles. That's just pretty darn impressive, however you slice it. You know, had quite a number of pass breakups, and so he's active all over the field. You guys must love this Nick Bolton cat.
Yeah, he's tremendous. And, you know, frankly, he wasn't like a highly touted recruit by any stretch of the imagination, kind of your classic Missouri guy who's overachieved at times in recent years and really succeeded. I mean, really, Nick is a good athlete, though. Don't get me wrong. I'm not totally sure why he was undervalued, because now he's assumed to be a first round pick at this point. And he's not just a good athlete. I mean, the guy just knows football. He's an instinctual player. He really is. And I think that's obvious when you turn on his film. I really enjoy watching Nick Bolton play football. And that's having seen quite a few good linebackers the last few years at Mizzou.
Yeah, I think, you know, sort of my caution to – not caution, but recommendation to Alabama fans is watch their 32.
Sure, absolutely.
Watch ours, but watch theirs, because he's – you know, you like really good football players, and somebody that's active, that's makes plays, reads the balls, instinctual, like you said. It's just fun to watch. And so I think he's going to be a player that, we're going to want to keep an eye on. Talk to me about the secondary. I think the safeties are considered a strength. It looks like you guys have a type in big safeties, the 200-pound safeties, laying some wood back there. Talk about those guys, and then the coverage guys on the corners.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, all these current guys, for the most part, were Barry Odom recruits. And I think Eli Drinkwitz, from what I've seen in his 2021 class in particular, his verbal commits so far is he prefers bigger defensive backs, not only just safety, but a corner as mm-hmm. well. And certainly, like you said, we play actually three safeties most of the time. We're a nickel type defense as well, but we play the three safeties, not necessarily a nickel back. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, Tyree Gillespie and Josh Bledsoe are certainly going to start. And yeah, they're really good players. And I think really the bigger question, obviously, is at corner, where last season, Jarvis Ware, he'll be one of the starters, kind of an up-and-down guy. He's definitely shown some talent. He's also shown the ability to commit a lot of penalties, too. So, you know, maybe rein in that aggression a little bit, find the proper balance. But then on the other side, it's interesting. We're actually going to start a true freshman who actually chose Missouri over Alabama a few months ago. Ennis Rakestraw, you may be aware of that name, but Eli Drinkwitz kind of went viral when he committed to Missouri. And, well, it seems like that hype is justified. He's already starting as a true freshman in game one against the Crimson Tide, who he said was his dream school growing up. So interesting story there to follow.
It really is. He's going to be someone that I'm very curious in watching. It was good to see you know, him win the starting job. You know, seeing him on the roster, you know, sort of reminded me, you're right, you know, that's someone that we were recruiting and thought we had him, and you guys grabbed him. So it's always interesting to see how those guys pan out. And so it'll be interesting to watch him, understanding that he's just a freshman, and every freshman is going to go through a learning curve.
Sure.
But let's go ahead and get it started. And because I do think he has a lot of talent, and those safeties, you know, that Bledsoe, I saw a picture of him. He just looks like a tank. If you see a player out there that's shaped like a tank, it's probably 18 Joshua Bledsoe. So we'll have to watch out for those guys out in the secondary. I like you guys' roster. I like there's a lot of talent there. Depth probably is something, you know, you could look at. But what's something on this team that you are looking forward to as this season starts to unfold? Maybe we didn't talk about, maybe we didn't ask. What's an insider scoop maybe that we need to watch for on Saturday?
What am I looking forward to? Inside scoop. Well, you know, I guess if you're going to go really deep, one of my biggest reactions to the depth chart, and again, I think this is for you Alabama fans. Maybe I'm wrong, but Chris Abrams-Drain, another true freshman, going to be our punt returner starting out. And I believe he played his high school football in Alabama as well. I shouldn't say as well, because Ennis Rakestraw was from Duncanville, Texas. Excuse me. Right. But no, I believe that Abrams-Drain is an Alabama kid.
Maybe.
But anyway, regardless, I got some good intel that he was going to maybe contribute for Mizzou, and it turns out It looks like he's going to. I find that interesting because punt returner to me is always one of those sneaky spots where you can easily lose a football game if you put a kid out there who's not ready. I mean, all it takes sometimes is one muff punt to lose a football game. So I just think it's interesting that Eli is, I don't know if maybe it's he's showing the you know, you sort of pointed out, you know, hey, why not play the young guys at this point? I mean, like Greg Stroud will take his lumps, right, against Devontae and Waddle, you know, that kind of deal. But why not put him out there too? It's like this is kind of year zero for Missouri. It's the COVID year. It's Eli's first year. Why not take some chances and play the young guys? I'm fine with it. This can be a developmental year as far as I'm concerned. I have low expectations.
Low expectations. What kind of win total are you guys thinking in a 10-game conference schedule?
Well, I believe Vegas has us at 3 wins is our over under. Frankly, I would with our previous 12-game schedule and the 4-game non-conference schedule, I'd probably go on like maybe 6 or 7 wins. But considering, you know, now there's 2 less games, and we got to play Alabama and LSU instead of, you know, two pretty, you know, like, you know, fairly likely wins. Or actually, we would have played BYU's looked fairly good so far.
Right.
Come on, compared to the Tide and the LSU Tigers, not a good comparison. So, you know, Vegas has us at 3 wins. I'd say that's probably about right. I want to say 4, but honestly, if anything close to 4-6, I'd be really happy. Anything above that would be tremendous, honestly, considering all the question marks this team returns offensively with not a lot of obvious answers.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I think you draw Alabama and LSU from the West. That, you know, that's got to be unfair. And then there's some teams on the rise, Georgia, Florida, maybe Tennessee a little bit in the East. And so that becomes sort of a tough lineup. And then, you know, you figure out where there's an opportunity. You know, Vanderbilt and Arkansas, I think, you know, those are there. But South Carolina, what are they going to look like? You know, and I think there's – and even Kentucky, you know, are there opportunities there on those teams? So that'll be interesting to play out. Hey, John, I have really enjoyed the opportunity to talk ball with you, learn a little bit about the Tigers. And I think it just makes Saturday's contest a little more interesting when you know something about the players on the other team and sort of the passions of the fans on the other team. Makes it a little more fun, makes it a little more real. So I appreciate your time this evening to talk ball. You guys have a great season, and good luck. And, you know, I lived in St. Louis for a couple years, so I do keep an eye on Missouri. Was happy to see you guys join the conference, and definitely keep an eye on Drink as he starts to build the program there. I think he's heading in the right direction.
Awesome. Well, Mizzou is happy to be in the SEC, and thanks for having me on the show, Dave. It was fun, man. And if any of you happen to be crossover fans who like Missouri as well, check me out on Locked On Mizzou, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods.
Fantastic. All right. Thanks, John. Have a good one now.
Appreciate you, man.
All right. Hey, man, I appreciate that.
Hey, man, thanks a lot.